Leo Tolstoy wrote a story called Three Hermits, which I really like. And the story goes like this. There was once a bishop who was was on a ship, a sort of commuter ship, if you will, in the White Sea, in the north of Russia. And he was told by someone on the ship that the island they were about to pass by was inhabited by three hermits. And so the bishop went to the captain of the ship and asked him if he would stop because he wanted to visit the hermits. And back in those days, ship captains listened to bishops, and he said, "Sure, of course, Your Grace." Doesn't happen these days, but it did back then. And so the bishop was rowed ashore to this little island, and indeed there were these three hermits, long, scraggly beards like hermits should have. And they were overjoyed and overwhelmed to see a bishop in their midst. And the bishop asked them, "Holy Fathers, how do you pray?" And one of them spoke up, and he said, "We pray this way. We three, you three, have mercy on us." The bishop thought for a moment. He said, I think I see what you're doing. You are speaking to God as the Holy Trinity, and that's a very wonderful thing to do. Nothing wrong with your prayer. However, you should really pray in this way, through the Lord's Prayer. And let me teach you the Lord's Prayer. And the hermits were very excited to learn the Lord's Prayer. And the bishop spent all day teaching these men to recite the Lord's Prayer. And by the end of the day, they had mastered it, they had it memorized, and he took his leave of them and returned to the ship. And as the sun was setting and the ship was going on its way, they looked behind the ship and saw the three hermits running along the water toward the ship, calling after the bishop. And they stopped the ship, because you do that when three hermits are running along the water. And the hermits approached the ship and spoke to the bishop, and they said this, "We have forgotten your teaching, servant of God. As long as we kept repeating it, we remembered. But when we stopped saying it for a time, a word dropped out, and now it's all gone to pieces. We can remember nothing of it. Teach us again." The bishop crossed himself and, leaning over the ship's side, said, "Your own prayer will reach the Lord, men of God. It is not for me to teach you. Pray for us sinners." The bishop bowed low before the old men, and they turned and went back across the sea. And the light shone until daybreak on the spot where they were lost to sight. In this story, the bishop tells these hermits that their prayers are as valid as the one Jesus teaches his disciples in today's gospel reading, which we call the Lord's Prayer. But for almost all Christians, this prayer, whether or not you recite it daily or weekly, deserves our attention. Because any time the Son of God tells you how to pray, you want to look at his words very closely. So that's what we're going to do today. Now, the prayer we hear this morning may sound a bit different, and that's because Luke's version is shorter than Matthew's, so it might in fact be earlier, or possibly Jesus taught this prayer on different occasions, but in either case, it is the core of what we know as the Lord's Prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. This is essentially an acknowledgement that God is God and we are not. This is much like what is called the Shema, which is recited regularly by Jews, coming from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. In Hebrew, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Then your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. May humanity turn, or perhaps return, to living completely in the ways God has called us to. And this sentence also evokes the hope and expectation that this broken world in which we live will be fully healed in the future that is to come. Give us each day our daily bread. Now, in first century Roman Palestine, this may have been more immediate than in 21st century Rhode Island. But it can serve for us today as a reminder that That is all we should ask for, today's bread, not tomorrow's or next week's bread. Because Jesus tells us in Matthew's gospel, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Give us each day our daily bread," is an opportunity to focus on today. "Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone indebted to us." Now, this one is curious. Since I can't imagine that everyone back in those days was in the habit of total debt forgiveness, this sounds to me like Jesus is, in rather a sly way, reminding people that if they're going to ask God for forgiveness, they'd better be prepared to forgive people who have wronged them. And finally, "Do not bring us to the time of trial, or lead us not into temptation." This may be the hardest to understand of everything in the Lord's Prayer. Why would God tempt us? Wasn't it Satan who tempted Jesus in the desert? 2 points. One, in Mark, it is the Holy Spirit that drives Jesus into the desert where he is tempted by Satan. There are times when God himself may be leading you into temptation for reasons you can't see at that time. And even though that's the case, it's perfectly okay to pray to God not to be led into temptation. After all, the Bible gives us examples of human beings struggling or bargaining with God. In the 32nd chapter of the book of Genesis, Jacob wrestles with God in the form of an angel and will not let him go until he gives Jacob a blessing. And then there's today's reading from Genesis, which I think is fantastic. Abraham bargaining with God, successfully, mind you, when Abraham convinces God to spare Sodom for the sake of 10 good people. I love how he bargains God down. What about 40 people? You wouldn't do it for 30, would you? He's one of the best bargainers in the Bible. And of course, in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night of Jesus' betrayal by Judas, Jesus himself prays to God, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." In fact, this is the very last prayer the Gospels of Matthew and Mark record Jesus as making before his crucifixion. "Not my will, but yours be done." While we have faith in God's ultimate love for us, we are still encouraged by biblical precedent to pray to him not to lead us into difficult times. Jacob wrestled with God for a blessing. His grandfather Abraham haggled with God to try to save a city. And Jesus himself told us to pray to God that we might not be tempted, even when, as he himself says in Matthew 6:8, "Your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Wrestle with God, bargain with God, but remember that your Heavenly Father knows your needs before you ask him. And we would all do well to end our prayers the way Jesus ended his final prayer: "Not my will, but yours be done."